KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Giggity.
Our question for you right now, 877-881-1053. For better or worse, did any Cowboys change your opinion of them in Oxnard? And straight away, from the 561, Jonathan Mingo, hustling on special teams and actually catching balls, doing stuff besides blocking.
I think that one, for this show specifically, very strong, because Alec and I were both on the, dude, I don't know, man, about this guy. Kevin, I think you...
Very fair.
I think you were... I can't tell exactly where you were, because it's not like the Mingo production had gained so much that you needed to defend his honor.
No, I thought he was DOA in terms of making this roster going into training camp. And then you watch and you see all of the things. Like, aside from just catching the ball, which that's the primary thing, but like you're just watching and you're like, oh, okay.
So you're saying at minimum, the receiver should be able to receive the ball.
Yeah. Yes.
And the first base receivers as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's a pretty low bar.
I think that we were kind of all like, all right, I'm not expecting much out of him. And it took me longer than you. I think you saw him make one catch, and you were like, all right, there it is.
There were a few, but I was like,
okay. And then, like, the next pass that went his way, he dropped, and I was like, okay, Kevin, whatever. And so we fought about that and didn't talk the rest of the time in Oxnard because of it.
I don't remember
but
that.
I was sick, though, so it's like that was mostly
okay.
My fault.
Yeah.
But then as I've watched him in games, I've seen just him show up, and that's a positive thing. So at this point, a dude that I did not think was on this roster and really might not have a shot to be on many rosters has either A, made this one, or B, made somebody else's real quickly.
Yeah.
So that's good for him, and he's definitely the number one candidate for this. I think Joe Milton changed my mind very fast. I'd cut him.
Oh,
we were two weeks in, and I'd already cut him.
Yeah, because you said Sam Howell, you thought, would be the guy. And honestly, as soon as they signed Sam Howell, I was like, well, it's for the purposes of this. They clearly are like,
But and maybe that was the thing that kind of woke Joe Milton up, too. That he was like, okay, they didn't need to sign a guy if they believed in me. And maybe he sat there and was like, you know what? That's just camp body. He'll be around.
Yeah.
But either way, he came in more prepared. He understood that he understands the offense better, and he's making throws that you've said it, Shoddy said it, the touch passes are that much more different. So for seeing Joe Milton grow for, somebody said, for MVP. So seeing Joe Milton turn into this is very nice. I see Revel flipping opinions.
So he's on my list for sure, because I had put Mingo, but I also had Malik Davis and Savon Revel on the list because it kind of reminds me of like what you've been saying about Barham. It's not that you didn't think he was going
to
make the roster or anything
like that.
Yeah. But you've seen a step up of what you would reasonably expect from him this year. Like, I know all the hype we've heard about Revel, but I was kind of like, okay, so he could be your third corner and stuff. And now, like, hopefully nothing bad happens, but if it does, and you had to run him out there immediately as a starter in pretty much every package, I would be like, okay, that's fine. I'm good with that. Malik Davis, when everyone's like, well, you don't have an RB2, he's shown some things, especially in pass protection, that I'm like, I'm not as worried about the running back room as perhaps other people are. So I think those two are both on the list.
I was reading on DallasCowboys.com a piece on Revel.
Okay.
And he said, I definitely have to credit CP, DA, and Smitty for teaching me how to ball, for teaching me the game and situational football. This part right here, Kevin, the situational football part, I had the knowledge, but now I'm starting to understand situational ball, and the game is a lot slower. And I feel like when I watch guys like Christian Gonzalez, you watch the breakdowns of these best cornerbacks in the league, the situation is what they talk about it all the time when they're talking about breaking down film.
Right.
Okay, Why is this guy lined up here? What did that quarterback just look at last? What are these things? We're in this 3rd-and-7 situation. It's likely they're going to run this route. Instead of just being out there and reacting, now he's playing faster because the game's slower because he's thinking ahead of time. He has instead of having, as the ball snapped, 700 things to think about, he's pared it down to 6. You know, do I need to defend this or this? Oh, well, it's this. You can get your body set better. This is the things that Revel didn't have last year that I think are going to are making him better right now. And as Mickey was talking about, running to teaching, running to coaching, he's going to these things saying, what can I do better? Okay, why this? He's thinking about the game differently.
From the 4-4-3, Revel flipped my opinion because I was scared after watching last year's film. From the 4-6-9, Barham 100%. So a lot of positivity there. Are there any other positives that you want to throw out to start? Because I don't want to make it sound like it was nothing but improvement across the board. There's a couple of negatives, too.
Flournay.
No, not Flournay as a negative.
I think Flournay, Jesus. Dude.
Flournoy.
I think Flournoy has actually just solidified. He did what I asked him to do.
Yeah.
He just solidified what I thought he was, and now I'm not concerned about the third receiver. So much so that I don't think you need to keep 6 receivers.
Man.
But then again, you could trade one. Or somebody said, hey, should we trade Joe Milton for Marvin Harrison the third?
Hell yeah. What the hell has he done?
What?
Nothing.
Milton?
No.
For Harrison? They said, let's trade the two of them. Would you do that?
Are you effing kidding me?
You would trade Joe Milton for Marvin Harrison.
Freaking heartbeat.
Harrison hasn't done anything.
There is no way that the Cardinals would do anything but laugh in your face and hang up
you
the phone.
You don't need him,
or
dude.
I guess one or the other.
It's too much range on one side of the field.
Mm.
You know?
Well, I mean, that would take care of some of your payment problems.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
All right, so on the negative side, I just have not seen enough from Blue yet.
Ooh, okay.
And I don't think that's negative at this point where it's more neutral still, but I think Terrence Steele's a really good name to throw in there in that it feels like, has he regressed at the position?
Yes.
Has he gotten worse?
Yes, I absolutely think that is the case. And because the two I was going to say kind of work in cooperation, and it is Terrence Steele and Nate Thomas. And one of the things that you've heard, yeah, because that was the thing, like, you were going to have a realistic competition, I realize, on the other side with Nate Thomas and Tyler Guyton, and maybe that's just not really the way it played out, or you think Guyton has looked better than expected, whatever the case might be. But instead, you're like, well, I mean, we might have another option in terms of tackles. And it feels like Nate Thomas has had a really uneven camp. I think Terrence Steele has had a really uneven camp. And unfortunately, because of that, now I am absolutely concerned about our tackles.
Great.
You don't disagree, right?
No, and, you know, it's mostly been the joint practices that we're hearing about, right?
Sure.
But if I'm hearing bad things, that's not good. You know, because the people that are saying that are the people that we trust and are in the know and,
yep,
and have these things.
Yep.
I feel like your game plan's still going to be a little different in the regular season, but that is going to mean that you're probably taken away from a play by having a chip, trying to do extra things that you don't necessarily need to do.
Yeah.
But that means you're taking away Ferguson or your running back because your tackle can't do his job. So, yeah, that is a bit of a concern. And I don't know if the Cowboys are like, we're that concerned about it too. And if they are not right now, will it be too late when they are? And now you've hurt yourself. And you put Dak in a bad situation because of it, or if they're going to be proactive like they've been most of the time this year and say we're going to go ahead and get something done before it's a bigger problem. But quite honestly, Kevin, I don't know what they can do, other than the money isn't that important as far as Terrence Steele's contract. We just have to deal with the fact he's not good. We screwed up, and we're going to have to make sure we have somebody better out there.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that because the money is spent, to your point. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, what really sucks and what I need to get over and move on from is that you've further reattached yourself to Terrence Steele this offseason. I know I've said this before, but they dropped his overall, like, year-by-year cost by tying themselves further to him and doubling up essentially the dead cap hit on him, because that was the thought coming out of this is, you know, $17.5 million, you split the cap hit across 2 years, look at what he would have made, and you would save some money if you got rid of Terrence Steele. Now, after this season, the dead cap hit for Terrence Steele is $25.6 million.
Is that a lot?
Yes, okay. That is a lot. So after another year, you've still upped his cap hit, or excuse me, a dead cap hit by more than $8 million because you're like, hey, let's work out a deal. You're perfectly serviceable. And I will say this, if Terrence Steele turns out to be perfectly serviceable this year, then I think that's a win. I know it doesn't sound like a win, but I think that ends up being a win.
If Steele turned out to be serviceable, would you then come back to this segment and say, he didn't change my mind at the end of the season? You
yeah.
Yeah. Because your mind going into the season was serviceable.
I think he will play. I think that will mean he was better than I thought.
This camp, his Kalshi stock is traded down.
Yes.
And then he could, by being serviceable throughout the year, his Kalshi stock would then trade back up.
Exactly. Right now, going into the regular season, I believe he profiles as a below average right tackle. And if you tell me that he comes out of this season as an average right tackle, I'll be like, well, then our offensive line, barring injuries, of course, should have been pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's the worst part of your offensive line and he ends up being average, and I know people are like, what about your left tackle? We can get to that. Then, you know, I think it will be a win.
Our kicker situation. Aubrey hasn't proven much this offseason or this training camp.
Of all the people I needed to prove things outside of Dak, I feel like the receivers and Brandon Aubrey would be pretty high up on that list.
Before butter, remember how often we'd be panicking
yes.
about the wind coming in off the top of the hotels over
yes.
there?
Yes, yes. And you're like, we're screwed. By the way, in case you're curious, Nick Eatman's top five for camp, Revel at five, Tyler Smith at four, then Quinnen, Dak.
Not in the top 100, Tyler Smith?
That's right.
Huh.
Not in the top 100. And then George Pickens, number one. And then going into the second preseason game, so I realize that happened on Saturday, Joe Hoyt said his top five standouts from Cowboys camp thus far were Pickens, Revel, Quinnen. So you see three matches right there. And then Camden Brown and Malik Davis.
Look at the media trying to help George Pickens get his next contract. Being like, he's a Boy Scout, man.
I feel like he's doing
he's been awesome, dude.
A damn fine job.
He has
of
been
himself.
Awesome. All on it. Yeah, dude. He's been fantastic to watch. He's been a great teammate. Like, this is the George Pickens we were hoping we traded for.
Are you surprised at all? Because this is what I thought was going to be an issue. You know what? I'm going to save that.
Save it.
For overreaction or reality. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. State of the art in Lubbock, gunshot recoveries, and the easiest schedules in college football. We will talk about them with man who cares about mental health. It is Brennan Baxter next right here on The Fan.
Lots to be determined right here. Third down and four. Bachmeier with time. Interception by Roberts. Point blank stabbed it. Ben Roberts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to fire up some Tuesday tailgate with the host of Fan University and avid mental health advocate for the Red Raiders. It is Brennan Baxter. How are you, sir?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on, and a huge mental advocate.
I think we need to make clear what's happening.
Yeah,
can we kind of clear that up? What happened here?
So, Brendan Sorsby obviously was able and eligible through a court order to play for Texas Tech for a certain time. I had put out a tweet that said, it's clear to me that Texas Tech is the only school in the entire country that cares about their mental health and well-being of their student athletes. That tweet got, I think, close to a million views.
Ooh.
And went not too well for me in the comments section.
I was going to say, not necessarily positive,
but still a good time. And hey, it's all over now. We've moved on. Texas Tech still does care about the mental health of their athletes, but Brendan Sorsby will not be an athlete for Texas Tech in 2026.
So if you want to go find that tweet, it's at Brendan Baxt on Twitter, correct?
Yes, correct. Right.
Do you want to try to pump it up again?
Yeah, I'll go retweet that tweet.
All right. I think
get it restarted. Yeah,
I think you'd really appreciate that. All right. So let's stick with Texas Tech to kick this off. And how big of a deal do you think it is that they have completed and have their state-of-the-art facility, locker room-wise, and everything like that? Because I know that's been building over years and years and years. And just when you hear about some of the aspects of it, two-story players lounge, 200-seat meeting room, a barbershop with three chairs, it sounds awesome. How big of a deal is that?
It is a big deal. And I was actually walking it with special teams coach Kenny Perry, and we were asking and talking about, is this now in the era of NIL where it just feels like it's all about money? Do players still care about facilities? They still want the state of the art? And he said, absolutely. This is a huge recruiting tool when people walk in and see this and see the dietitian room and the lounge chairs and the barber shop and everything that comes with that facility. It's a quarter of $1 billion. It's one of the most expensive facilities in the country, and it's one of the largest now in the country as well too, because it connects now to Galaxy Stadium, was Jones Stadium, and the players, the lights, everything that goes into that facility is state of the art, and it's a huge impact on why players outside of an NIL check are choosing to go to Lubbock.
I remember, Kevin, when I was at UNT, and this is, you know, decades ago at this point, but I was at UNT and was talking about the new stadium they'd built.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, why? And he was like, we can't compete with Allen High School. Our stadium's
older pretty than
Allen's. Our facilities are worse than theirs. So like some of these kids, if they're coming in here, like they're coming from high schools that have facilities that are better than what they're seeing. So that's a huge recruiting tool.
Yeah, totally agree. And it's something too that when you walk in, I was in there this last week as well too, seeing the Big 12 championship trophy and just the entrance. It feels massive. The ceilings are very high. They have the huge Mass Rider horse at the front. And so you get from the moment you walk into the door, this place is the real deal. That was not always the case at Texas Tech and Lubbock. They were way behind Texas A&M, OU in the old Big 12 Conference. They're now leading the charge in the modern Big 12 Conference, and that's a huge reason they're getting some of the top players in the state.
I also want, regarding Tech specifically, somebody texted in, I believe it was last week, and they were like, look, man, Texas Tech proved that they were beneficial of their schedule, and that, you know, once they got to the college football playoff, that was where everything really shined, that they weren't ready for it. Was that just a stepping stone for what's to build with McGuire's group?
I firmly believe so, because when you look too at high school recruiting, and we were just talking right before we got on about Joey's success in high school and in Texas high school, and that's a huge reason he was hired to be Texas Tech's head coach. They have a 2027 top three class in the country currently in high school recruiting. So it's
Can
not
we pause on that for just 1 second? Not only about Texas Tech, but man, I think people lose sight all the time. I've thought about this for years and years, and I know the tide has turned in terms of them or UNT, SMU, TCU. I was like, you could make a killing if you just recruited Texas. That's probably not the best national strategy, but you can crush if you just recruit this state.
For sure. I mean, it's probably, and maybe California.
Not probably. But it's Texas one.
It's Texas one, California, and Florida. Yep. I would say probably top three. And
then, you know, Ohio,
and so there's just such an influx just in DFW alone, too. The amount of Division I talent in the Metroplex is insane. And if you can capitalize on a coach like Joey McGuire, who has the relationships with Texas high school coaches, the association, it bodes well for Texas Tech in the future and high school recruiting as well.
How much?
This is off football, but I was talking to Sam Erger, the SMU volleyball coach, and the first game you ever assigned me to was Plano West Allen volleyball.
Oh, and you're killer. Welcome.
And that's what she said. She goes, wow, you got one of the best ones you possibly could have gotten for your first game. And I was like, yeah. And then she talked about we were talking football, but she's talking about how rich the environment around here is for volleyball and all sports.
That is so true. In hindsight, I probably should have given you a clunker of a matchup and built up
my
to
expectations were really high.
Everyone's going to be like
this.
I was
like, I don't even want to cover football anymore.
How much should I be invested in the continuing saga of Jacob Fields and TCU? Because there was an Instagram post with the player who is the alleged victim of this and supposedly his dad that quickly got deleted. And it feels like maybe this saga is not going to go away.
Yeah, this is also something that's fascinating in this modern era with NIL, players' involvement, parents' involvement too, and everything is now on social media. And this stuff can stay with a team for the entire year. And that's something that could be a problem in the locker room. And Sonny Dykes, too, you mentioned TCU with that. This is a big year for him. I mean, 2022 feels like a long time ago. And they've brought in Jaden Craig from Harvard, who was first team all Ivy League a year ago. But to have something like this just kind of ruminating around the locker room and the team going into this season is not a great sign for TCU, because this is a year in the Big 12 where they need to compete in that top three or four in the conference.
And in this situation, Jacob Fields dismissed from the team for a, quote, rules violation. Yeah. Then you find out, and it was is a Conma and his dad that were supposedly on this Instagram video, and his dad's like, oh, I thought he got knocked out. He was like, he got sucker punched and had some rug burn from falling on the ground, and that's it. And they had to go to the hospital. And then Fields' agent came out and said a significant portion of what has been shared on social media is false or purely speculative, and then, of course, declined to go into further information about what actually happened.
Right, yeah, and that's another thing, too, with NIL agents, when we're seeing kind of these things pop up in college. NFL agents are professionals, lawyers. They've had to be approved, right. CBA. NIL agents could be us three. Like, we could go be an NIL agent. And,
hell yeah. Let's cash in,
baby.
And so there's not a ton of professionalism that we're seeing on that side of things as well in college, too. And so I tend to trust the athletic department and the school over an NIL agency.
Sure.
But you just don't know. I mean, things like this can have multiple angles. We saw with the Brendan Sorsby situation and their NIL situations and his money and the Texas Tech and the court case. There's just so much around college football now, it feels like we barely get to talk about just college football.
Okay, well then let's take a step back, and it kind of ties in with Sorsby, obviously, a little bit. Old school Texas Tech fans might have been shocked to see that it was defense carrying the day.
Sure.
Much like when you see the Rangers having great pitching last year, you're like, what kind of magic is this? Is Texas Tech good enough? Is their quarterback good enough offensively to carry through what a lot of people think is going to be a damn fine defense again?
So the defense returns 6 of 11 starters. They have five first-team all-preseason Big 12 players. A.J. Holmes, defensive tackle, is projected to be or was awarded all defensive player of the year, Big 12 conference. He's projected to be a first round draft pick. The defense, I have no concerns with.
Agreed.
From Texas Tech. I think people see that David Bailey is no longer there, number two overall pick. Obviously, Jacob Rodriguez, best linebacker in the country a year ago, and think they're going to take a step back. I was talking to Joey McGuire on Thursday, and he was talking about how this unit, though you might not have 14 sacks from an individual like David Bailey, they've got the 14 sacks they need through Trey White, who is a transfer, and Adam Trick from Miami, Ohio. So they feel extremely confident this group could actually be deeper than last year's group. You might not have a David Bailey on the roster, but they've got 11 guys on that side they feel very good about.
Which is super positive.
It's
but
yes. Yeah, and in every conversation during fall camp is everyone looks good. Everybody's great.
Sure.
We've improved greatly. Our quarterback's looking good. Hear that from all Power Four teams in college football. You've obviously got to wait to see it. To your point on Will Hammond, he has been super popular in that locker room since he was a true freshman in 24. I mean, they felt great about him. He had a game here in Fort Worth where he came on and almost beat TCU on the road as a true freshman. And then last year had a great game at Utah in the second half where he went 13 of 16, threw a couple touchdowns, and won that game. And so he's had some experience. Can he stay healthy coming off an ACL injury? That's what really the question is. But
is the other question, not to be difficult or anything, but is the other question, if you give him too much, will he crumble?
Yeah, and that's what we don't know, because we've only had to see him in pressure situations 2 to 3 times. Like he's only started, I think, 4 games in his entire career. 3 of those were last year. So there's a lot of question marks still there. You obviously thought you had a much deeper quarterback room coming into this season than you have now. But Texas Tech feels very confident that the defense and the running game will be leading the charge of the Big 12 this year.
Now, starting quarterbacks, now's the time where we've gotten a ton of announcements, whether it's Keelan Russell for Alabama, KJ Jackson with Arkansas. I thought Tennessee, interesting, with the true freshman, Faison Brandon. Any of those that were either surprising or that you want to stop down and talk about?
I thought that Keelan Russell from Alabama, because Austin Mack had been on campus, and they were pretty high on him. And we've seen Kalen DeBoer have a lot of success with quarterbacks. Obviously, Michael Penix at Washington, Ty Simpson drafted 13 overall to the Rams last year. But Keelan I mean, he's just a freak athlete, too. He's tall. He's lean. He's got a cannon of an arm. He played for about a half last year in a second half game when they were blowing someone out, and the ball out of his hand was lightning fast. And so I'm really excited to see him as well, too. And I think Alabama's got a lot of question marks this year. No one's really talking about him in
which
the SEC,
is weird.
Which is just weird to think about. But
them being at 13,
it
in
just
the preseason
felt weird.
Pool, yeah.
It felt so weird. I mean, everyone's talking about LSU and Lane Kiffin, obviously, Georgia, Kirby Smart, and then, of course, Arch Manning in Texas. It's going to be a fascinating year in the SEC. And if Keelan Russell can elevate Alabama's room on offense, I expect them to be very good. I actually have Alabama making the playoffs this year.
Ooh, okay. How many SEC teams do you believe? Are we looking at five?
I've got Georgia winning the SEC.
Okay.
I have Texas.
Gross.
And I know, and it's hard for me to pick Texas as well too. I have Alabama, and then I have Oklahoma making it as the fourth. I'm fading A&M, and I'm fading Ole Miss pretty hard this season.
Well, thanks for your one appearance on the show. No, I'm just kidding. That does seem to be, when you look at the A&M schedule, or when you look at how they closed out last year, if you don't believe in Marcel Reed, I know there are a lot of people who are like, look for a little regression from them this year.
Yeah, it's just a schedule thing as well, too. And then when I do look at the quarterback room and Marcel Reed, he had a lot of great moments a year ago. But you'd see, take the South Carolina game last year, for example. They're just getting blown out at home.
Oh,
Marcel
yeah.
Reed looks
yeah.
awful. And then they have this insane second half where he looks like the best quarterback in the country. And it's, which version of Marcel Reed are you going to get? And are you going to have that for 12 games? I don't believe so. And that's why I think A&M will fall off a little more this year.
And especially if they can't fix the wind, you know, like that happened last year.
Right.
Miami. That was really tough. Brutal for
we
you
We don't
guys.
Need to talk about that game. I remember what happened. Stupid wind.
Will Oklahoma State have an Indiana type Kirk Cignetti re-rise?
They're not going 11-1. Like, they're not going they're not going to make the playoff in year one. I love what Eric Morris is doing, and it was such a fantastic story a year ago.
Do you mean
with
in terms
Drew
of leaving North Texas?
Oh, yeah. It hurts.
Hey, you never know with Neil Brown, another guy kind of in the same coaching tree, they could have a decent year there. But I do think Oklahoma State, I could definitely see 8 or 9 wins this year in the conference. And I think Drew Mestemaker really is that good.
Yeah.
I think just because you're going from a group of 6 to the Big 12, people assume, well, they're not going to be that good. They were just group of 6 good, but they're not going to be Power 4 good. I think Eric Morris is a great coach. I think Drew Mestemaker is a really good quarterback. And then Caleb Hawkins might be one of the best running backs in the entire conference this year. He's so dynamic. He's going
to
be a top 2 or 3 running back in the Big 12 this season.
Do you envision a way in which Mestemaker is in the first round of the NFL draft?
I mean, it is a deep,
it
deep
is. Well, Sports Illustrated
class.
Projected six quarterbacks.
I think if he's in the Heisman conversation, then yes.
If he has an insane year, yeah.
That could be, because going from UNT, like, people are like, okay. Like you were just mentioning. But if he's doing it at this level, I think people would strongly consider he's in the Heisman conversation. He's in the top 4 for the Heisman.
They go 10-2 and like Drew Mestemaker has thrown 40 touchdowns and he's the reason they're there, then he is going to have a lot of hype around him.
40-10, something like that. Or a Sam Bradford, like 49-6.
Would you take over under on 40 touchdowns right now for Drew Mestemaker?
Yes.
Oh, you take
because
the over?
Because of how much he's going to like throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And the comfort level with the offense, too.
Now we are
and Caleb Hawkins could receive also.
I mean, we just talked about how good he was. What is y'all's excitement level, seeing as how I know it is not the most star-studded weekend quite yet, but we are approaching the first weekend of college football.
I can't wait, man. I mean, Dublin brought some exciting drama off the field last year with Avery Johnson and his dad, and so I could.
You've got TCU
in North Carolina in that game. Bill Belichick, what does that look like at North Carolina? Then we talked about TCU a little bit. They need to have a really good year this year for Sonny Dykes. I think a lot of people are starting to fade him a little bit if he can't keep up with BYU, Utah, and Texas Tech in the Big 12 conference.
And then you'd mentioned Arch Manning, Texas. There is a ton of steam behind them. They have the most preseason All-Americans.
Yep.
That same Sports Illustrated, I know it's ridiculous, but that mock draft had 4 of the top 8 picks from Texas. They did move off of this player. Go ahead and give me cut number 11 if you can. It looked like he was going to be competing for a starting job, but now he is off the team.
Underwood to pass, middle of the field, picked off at the 45. It's coming back. Smith with the INT and 5:15 to play.
So Ty Anthony Smith off the team. I'm not saying like, oh no, what are they going to possibly do? But when we talk about distractions, how do you feel about Texas going into the season when they have as much of an expectation as just about anybody?
I feel like when they came out at 5 in the AP poll, it was almost like, all right, let's just pump the brakes because last year we came in so hot on them, preseason number one.
Right.
And I think this year's team is a lot better than the 2026 team. And Arch Manning, too, he got a lot of heat because of how he looked against Ohio State week one. And then they struggled a little bit against UTEP at home and had the games at Florida, Mississippi State. But the offensive line wasn't that great last year. Like, it pains me to say, but I thought Arch Manning actually looked pretty good the second half of the season. And he was not the reason that the Longhorns didn't exceed their expectations. They brought in Cam Coleman from Auburn this year, one of the best receivers in the entire country. So he's got a clear number one receiver.
I watched him obliterate OU, and I was just like, what is happening?
He is unbelievable. Yeah. So there's no reason Texas should not be in the SEC championship game. There's no reason they shouldn't be in the playoff. I expect them to be there. The question just comes down. It kind of feels like this. Okay, if they get a road game in Tennessee, for example, or something happens and they just get into this weird, like, kind of drag out, knockout fight, are they tough enough over the course of four quarters? That's what I felt like we didn't see a lot last year. It felt like when they hit adversity at Florida, they kind of sank. And I want to see this year, is there a different toughness and edge to the Longhorns? Because the talent, like you said, is unquestionably there. They're probably the best team in the country on pure roster construction.
All right, if we're talking about pure talent, then they might have the best overall roster, but can we all agree that the best, most talented player in all of college football is, in fact, not a quarterback? It remains Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State.
I completely agree. He could have been the number one receiver taken out of the draft the last two seasons. I mean, he's in Ohio State, too, with Jeremiah Smith. They have Julian Sayin back at quarterback. They're extremely deep as well, too. So, I mean, but I actually think Oregon will. They have a tough game against Oregon. I believe it's October 17th. And I could see Ohio State going 10-2. Their schedule is difficult this year in the Big Ten. But Jeremiah Smith, clearly, in my mind, would be the Heisman front runner for me. This season,
he only had 8 catches for 144 yards against Indiana.
And when he turns it on, I'm like, screw it.
And
good
he didn't even have a touchdown in that game.
The catch against Notre Dame in the national championship, where it was like 3rd and 9, and they just had him solo one on one, and Will Howard just threw it to him. And it's like, you can't guard that guy. I don't know if an all cornerback NFL guy could guard him right now.
He is unbelievable, and I think some team is going to get a hell of a deal, whether it's that you want Moore or Mensa or Manning or I just realized that they all start with the M's right there. Like, I think some team could potentially get a hell of a receiver deal from him at early in the first round.
I would be shocked if he's not a top 5 pick.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Right now, it feels like 4.
I know there'll be a lot of quarterbacks that want to go because this class is extremely high. But he's pure talent-wise, I think you're absolutely correct that he's probably the best player from a talent perspective in college football. It'll just come down to need.
Is there anything else college football-wise we need to go over right now? And when can people hear your show?
I mean, honestly, just with the season starting on Saturday, I think the question mark for this season is with all the drama that took place this offseason, with TROs being granted and NFL players coming back to college and everything that's going on, really it's just like, can we just get to the field?
Mm-hmm.
For me, the biggest story is like, can it all just settle down and will it feel like college football?
And you're not going to get that until at least Saturday, right, with the Big Ten voting and ACC and all
this. Yeah, you've got stuff going on right now. And so that's really my question mark going into the year is like, will all of this actually take a back seat or will it stay at the forefront once games are going on? Because I'm just hopeful that the games take care of itself and we can all just go back to enjoying the sport we love.
And when can we hear Fan University?
Fan University starts Saturday morning 9 to 1 right here on 105.3 The Fan. Myself, Jacob Ray, Kevin Walker, Will Chambers back at it, year 2 of Fan U.
That's a long time for college football talk there.
It is.
It's a lot of college,
and especially when there's only 8 games this Saturday. It'll get pretty interesting, I think, but once the season gets underway, we'll have a lot to get into.
Well, it's good that it's good information and entertaining people. That's
absolutely
the important factor.
But there is something I need you to do, either on or off air. If you run into a lull on air, will you convince or see if you can find out that Jacob Ray or Kevin Walker briefly said that the movie Grown Ups was their favorite movie, and then backtrack on this information.
I will find that out for sure, because that is an unacceptable favorite movie of all time.
Exactly. They both step back away from it.
I think you and Alex shared a dream. Like, I don't think it actually happened.
Oh, it happened.
I think y'all were just like-minded dream sleeping in the same room one night.
What? I don't like a lot of what you said right
Could
there.
Be,
all right, I got one more college football note, and then would you like to stick around for the rest of this segment, which will be nonsense?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
College football note from Missouri. Their star running back, Ahmad Hardy, will not be ready for the start of the regular season. He still hasn't practiced. He's recovering from a gunshot wound. But the thought is that he'll be good to go by mid-September.
I had a Mickey joke there. Because Mickey's a Missouri fan, but he said gunshot wound.
Yes, probably should not.
You should warn me with the no joke zone.
Now, that is fair. It's time for this. In case you're ever wondering, on the fan cam, that's a monocle and a cane like Mr. Peanut. So,
I thought you were going to say something else, even though I knew it was Mr. Peanut.
Come on, dude. We're going to be on our best behavior with Brendan here. All right, so... our masterpiece theater of the day, which he does not know, so you might have to think this over.
Did you prepare audio?
I did not. No, I am totally unprepared for this
segment.
Man,
if you had audio, but you didn't know.
didn't know what
you
were doing.
You know what? That is what I want from now on. Bring a piece of audio, okay. Not knowing what the segment is going to be.
Every Tuesday moving forward.
Yeah.
We'll just see if that fits. So our masterpiece theater, what is the best movie or movie series to watch with friends? 877-881-1053, Franklin Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. What is the best movie or movie series to watch with friends?
Oh, movie series.
Did you screw this up?
I went
up?
TV series. I don't know why. I saw series, and then I just went TV series.
Alec, like, can you help me out? What does it say on the sheet?
It definitely says movie or movie series.
So you're the jackwagon who picks Smallville. Doesn't it have like 13 seasons or something? How long do your friends have a free time?
It's like going Grey's Anatomy.
Play the music, Allie. I kind of feel like I need this right now. Somebody to save me. Yeah, dude, I'd picked Smallville because I saw a movie on there twice. Mm-hmm. And I thought he must have accidentally typed it twice.
So you just didn't read the whole sentence?
But I didn't see TV, so man. Why would I even pick a TV series?
You were the kid who looked right down at the questions and then scanned the thing you were supposed to read for the keywords,
you know, the
right?
The one where the teacher would put at the very end of the thing, now you don't have to do any of this stuff, you get just turn your paper in and you get the credit. I was always like, how did they finish so fast? Because it would say at the top, read everything first and then do the test. And I would be like, why would I do that? And then I'd just be like, hold on, something must be a trick here. I'd start erasing stuff. So, Kevin, Smallville, because me and my roommates used to watch it back in the day, and it was, we enjoyed it.
Yeah, I bet you did.
It's not like we had deep conversations about it afterwards or anything. We were just like, that was cool. This is the cape.
How many bags of Doritos did you guys pound while you were watching that?
While?
Or after?
Look, man, Doritos are fantastic chip.
True.
So whether you're under the influence or not has no bearing.
From the 480, Lord of the Rings, but the four-hour director cuts. I'm here for that. My wife would not
I'll go
be.
To sleep.
She hates those movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what she hates even more? 2001 A Space Odyssey. Because she goes, what is this space baby movie? She hates it. And so that will be the question. I'll be like, would you rather watch this movie like four times in a row or Space Baby?
Yeah.
And she'll be like, the movie we were just watching.
Exactly.
That is kind of. All right. So here are some of the early votes. Sharknado. Never seen it. Serenity.
I'd love for
no,
people to
we're
vote
not
for Smallville.
Doing that. From the 469, damn it. Super Troopers from the 214, The Dark Knight series.
That's a good one.
From the 469, an Ocean's 11 series or Marvel.
Do you want to watch a serious movie series with friends and then have a real long talk about it? Or do you want to watch something that was funny and be like, ha ha?
Probably that one, especially depending on the group of friends, because there's definitely some groups of friends that I'm like, no.
Like me.
Well, now you're going to be like, yeah, but have you seen Smallville? And I'm going to tell you to shut the F off about Smallville.
Have you ever seen Friends? It's such a good one. Are there theaters that show series like this?
They're doing that now. I think they're bringing movies back in the theaters to get people to go.
Yeah.
Older movies.
Like in Star Wars, they would do it with that. Lord of the Rings, they would do it with that. So
how long would it take to watch Star Wars, all of them consecutively?
If you did all nine now?
And the series.
Oh my gosh. Probably shorter than Smallville, I believe. But
yeah, to watch the movies, would that take a day or two?
Just the movies would take just about the full 24 hours.
Okay.
If you did them boom, 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 straight away, like you can get 5 minutes to run to the restroom or something. So I put, unless you're looking to nerd out with your group on Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, something fun like The Hangover. But really, my answer is we're going to go to cut number 13. This is the greatest movie you can ever see with a group of people, either your friends or if they were your enemies, they'll become your friends after this. We would see this at the Inwood all of the time. It's the movie The Room. And I just want to point out, Alec, because I know we're going to play this cut. I had multiple cuts that I submitted for consideration. So don't think this is a one-off in terms of ridiculous dialogue. It's all like this.
Oh, pretty good. We got a new client at the bank. We'll make a lot of money.
What client?
I cannot tell you. It's confidential.
Oh, come on. Why not?
No, I can't. Anyway, how is your sex life?
That
Tommy
clip,
Wiseau, right?
That's right. That clip has not been edited either. If you think that was a masterpiece of the week style, no. That has not been edited whatsoever. There's the amazing scene in the flower shop where before the lady even tells him how much money it is, he gives her the money and walks off. And he goes, oh, hi, doggy. It is the best to see with a group of people. If you watch it by yourself, it's like that tape from The Ring. And I think that you will be dead in 7 days. But
what's the movie that made about this movie?
The Disaster Artist.
Okay, so we watched...
That is a fun movie, too.
We watched that, and they did the scene where he kicks the door open and says some stuff and then goes, oh, hi, Mark.
I did not hit her. It's BS. I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yes.
So I say, oh, hi, Mark, all the time. And I have no clue how many people know what I'm saying or why I'm saying it.
Also, go back and watch that scene. What is in his pockets? It looks like he has $8,000 of change in his cargo pockets. If you go back and watch that scene, all right,
The Disaster Artist or
yes.
The Room,
the Room.
Okay, all right, okay.
It's but I think they recreated
but y'all,
it.
Y'all stand up and throw spoons at the screen, right?
Correct. Are you familiar with this movie, Brennan?
Not The Room, The Disaster Artist. Yes.
All right. So the thing about The Room is they were clearly filming this in like a model home. And they didn't put pictures in any of the things. So all the pictures in the frames are stock items of like forks and silverware and stuff like that. So every time you see it, you'll yell spoon and throw a spoon at the screen. And it is the most fun you can have at the movie.
That sounds like the movie you should watch with your friends then.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Interactive.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, we would go to the Inwood all the freaking time. All right.
It's like that or Smallville. Those are your best options out there.
And if you don't like The Room, it will feel like you're watching the entire series of Smallville back to back to back. All right, Alec. Let's go to, actually, real quick, from the 817, I'm on Kevin's wife's side. Those movies are so boring. High school buddies, we would always watch Mallrats and...
Mallrats is fantastic, dude.
Yes, that is...
Clerks and Clerks 2 would be good to watch with friends from the 469. I thought Kevin Smith's stuff at that time was pretty genius, the way interwove characters, and people love that.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Alec, what do you got?
I do just want it to be known before I get to mine that I thought about being a good friend and letting Corey know that he misunderstood the segment.
I appreciate that you
but
did not.
But I thought it would be funnier if he had delay in it. So that's why we just went with it. Anywho, mine, I'm 25. All of my friends are man children like me, so this movie is just classic.
Hey, you guys aren't narcs, are you?
Whoa! Whoa, whoa, no!
Dude, come on!
Maybe you're a narc.
You know who calls people narcs? Narcs. First of all, your argument kind of just collapsed on itself, because if you would call us narcs, if narcs call people narcs, and you call us narcs, then that's kind of, you're calling yourself a narc.
This is like the only scene that I could pull from 21 Jump Street.
It's a lot
that,
of swearing.
Exactly. Yes. And a lot of like racially motivated jokes and stuff. So yeah, but it's a hilarious movie that no matter what state of mind you're in, you're going to laugh your ass off. And I feel like every time I watch it, it's like I'm seeing it for the first time, even though I've probably seen it 7 or 8 times in total. I'm still laughing the same way like I just saw it. And it's amazing every single time.
Interestingly enough, comes from an iconic TV series, Kevin. So that makes this like, now we just merged all three of our opinions.
I might have flipped out if you played a Johnny Depp clip from the TV show.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Johnny Depp was in the TV show, right? Yeah.
I might have lost my mind.
Richard Grieco or whatever.
Grieco! Yep. What happened to him? All right.
He did that stupid movie with the trench coat and then lost his job.
What? All right.
Did he do radio here?
Do I want to look up that? No, that's Richie and Grieco. That is excellent. That is not Richard Grieco. Now that you've heard all of this, while I consider if I should type in Richard Grieco trench coat into the search, do you have one that fits this vein?
I was going to say American Pie. Those series,
ooh,
like that back
in
the day, that was like a high school series you'd watch when you, like, with all your buddies, get those out of the way.
Did you ever make a bet like that with your friends?
I did not.
That would be a
good
rude
answer.
Yeah. At least I'm not going to say that publicly.
Sure. Thank you for winking at me after that.
You winked with both eyes. That was just a blink, Kevin.
Oh, okay. My mistake. What about from the 214 Pink Panther 1 and 2 with Steve Martin? I Know What You Did Last Summer. Man, they take a hard turn in that new one. And then from the 469, Cosm is doing the Matrix trilogy. Hey, hey.
Oh. Kevin, it was If Looks Could Kill.
Okay.
He was equipped with spy gadgets, a rocket-armed car, and a sharp trench coat. He has to stop a villain named Augustus Steranko.
Okay, see, and this is sometimes where I feel like the internet fails, because I typed in Richard Grieco trench coat. Did I miss one letter? Sure. The fifth thing that came up was, I don't understand all the hate for Disclosure Day. What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
What's Disclosure Day?
It's the fake alien movie with Emily Blunt.
Do you hate it?
It's not bad. No, I didn't hate it.
You don't understand either.
I thought they marketed it very incorrectly. To make money, which kind of did. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Of course.
I believe.
We'll make sure Kevin gets the message out correctly next week on whether or not it's TV series.
I don't know. I like the idea of just me showing up with an audio and we see if I'm even close to what the segment's going to be.
Yes. Yeah. See if Corey even knows what the segment is. So
absolutely.
It's a gamble either way.
I think we should. So, Brendan, thank you very much.
Of course,
Saturday.
Guys.
Fan University, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And, you know,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10.
Now.
We'll win a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Rangers play the Rays on Sunday, September 6th at Globe Life Field. You can buy tickets from Rangers.com or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block.
The FBI was called in a level of concern.